Blog Talk Radio.
Ready to transform your life? It seems that the rules of life have never changed, but the game of life has. Discover the keys to daily living from the fifth dimension. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, love mentor and relationship healer, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Lessons for the Soul, and a very special Love Mastery Secrets Blueprint. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can, and often does, get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. Maureen J. St. Germain's passion is to help people grow and evolve, and her mission is to help them manifest their heart's desire by discovering the keys to daily living from the fifth dimension. And I can't wait till she explains that. As a mystic, and as we were speaking, she said a lifelong mystic, Maureen has traveled and taught workshops worldwide for almost 20 years. As the author of the Amazon.com bestseller, Beyond the Flower of Life, Maureen has been teaching the Merkaba meditation, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about that, and the higher self connection. She teaches that we are at the end of the old games of competition, karma, and hurting each other, and at the beginning of people being in love with themselves, in love with Mother Earth, and loving each other equally. So I'm really excited to be speaking with you today, Maureen St. Germain.
Hi, and thank you for having me. What a treat. You know, it's so interesting to have this opportunity to really share with an audience that I feel so close to, you know. It's amazing to have this true opportunity. So I'm very grateful. So it'd be great to dig in.
Yes. So when we start, I always like to know, you know, who you are and where you come from, how this came about that you developed all this knowledge and understanding of another dimension, the fifth dimension. So tell us your background, training, education, whatever that led to this.
Okay, so, you know, I have always been interested in the esoteric mysteries. As a child, I was much more likely to read, a book called Lives of the Saints. In fact, when my mother hid it from me, and it wasn't in the bookcase where it belonged, I just, you know, kind of checked in and said, well, where's that book? And I could see where it was in a closet on a high shelf and got a chair and, you know, lifted it out of its location, and that was that. My mother never hid it after that. What's interesting to me is I'm sure she was, you know, hiding it because it was a very fancy book, had gold leaf, and, you know, it's like a keeper kind of a book. And, you know, her 10-year-old is digging it out and reading it. So, but after that, you know, she left it alone. And I've always been enchanted with information about the spiritual realm and what could be known about spirituality. Now, I think that this came from a previous level of mastery, and that I came in with a lot of knowledge, and all I was doing was remembering what I already knew. I did go to Catholic school. I went to public high school, but even then I was very focused and clear. Now, I managed to get into the in crowd and hang out with those guys, but there was one girl in that in crowd that always used the F word. And one day I thought to myself, you know what, I don't have to listen to this. And I quit being friends with that group. I didn't call them names or make a big deal of my exit. I just stopped sitting with them and stopped hanging out with them. And that's where we're at today. We get to decide that we want to be around people who are holding the values that we hold. So throughout my adulthood, I studied with many mystery traditions, and at every level, I literally soaked it in, like mother's milk. And then when I began teaching the Merkaba work, which is a guided meditation that you learn, it takes about 2 days, 2.5 days to learn it, and then you say it, it takes 5 minutes to do once you learn it, that doubled everything I had done in my whole life. So if you can imagine being in your 40s and having this experience where everything you have studied of spirituality and mysticism and all of that, and your capacity to meditate and be in that environment doubled. And I'm a very analytical person and very, linear in a lot of my thinking, so it was a boon for me, because as much as I knew in my head, I had not integrated it. And that's the other thing that work did for me. It allowed me to integrate the spiritual knowledge, because it held my heart open in a way that helped me be safe. You know, a lot of times we don't have our heart open, not because we're not good people, but because we've been wounded and we're afraid. And that meditation does that. Now, it's not being taught anymore in workshops or anything like that, but you can get the DVD, and I do sell that
on
my website.
Can you tell us the link, or do you want to give your website for the link?
Well, you can get it on Amazon, or you can get it on my website. My website's MaureenSaintGermain.com, and the name of the DVD is called Merkaba Classic, and it's a joke. I love to have these little innuendos and things, and the reason I call it Merkaba Classic is the same reason why Coke came out with the Coke Classic, because the original formula, the original 17-breath Merkaba, is the best one. And there was some, I don't know what the right word is, but there was some information that said, oh, we've got a newer version, we've got this, we've got that, and it's, not that important. And that's why I called it the Merkaba Classic in terms of the name of it. And then in the book, Waking Up in 5D, a couple of years into my writing the book, someone brought me another Merkaba that was channeled. And that Merkaba takes you from the 17-breath Merkaba all the way out to the higher dimensional levels, the higher chakras, connecting you to the earth star, which is the earth chakra. So as we become more spiritual, we have to have a way to stay grounded and connected to Mother Earth, because this time when we make our ascension, we are not leaving our bodies. We're not doing it the Easter way. We are taking our ascension and our bodies with us. And that's never been done before. So this new, I'll call it layer, or this new expression of the 5D Merkaba is intended either to be followed by the 17-breath Merkaba, or if you've already got that in your system and you're fully integrated in the 17-breath Merkaba, then you would just start in with the new 5D Merkaba and add that on top of it. You'd start at the last three breaths of the original 17-breath Merkaba. So some amazing
things. I have a question. It's all amazing. I mean, most of us can't even fathom what you've experienced and what you know. But can you explain what Merkaba means? How did they come up with the name?
It's from the ancient Hebrew. It is counter-rotating fields of light. So that's what it stands for, if you separate the words out. And, you know, what happened to me is that I practiced this body, this meditation, every day without fail for over 8 years. Nobody does that. And why did I do it? And that is because in the process of teaching this, I wanted to give my students a way to connect with the higher self. And we were told, you know, initially in the early years that we weren't allowed to activate or take the last three breaths of this meditation until we had permission from our higher self, but there was no higher self instruction given. So the first thing I did was set out to create a protocol that would allow someone to actually get their higher self connection going and have accuracy. And this is the best part, those of us, and I include myself in that, who are very linear, who are very analytical, who have monkey mind, could do it and get accuracy. And that's like the most amazing piece. So once you have this higher self connection, then you get to use that to make decisions. So as I developed this skill set, I asked my higher self, you know, is my Merkaba permanent? Meaning, you know, do I need to keep doing it? Because that's what people did. They would find out when their Merkaba was permanent, and then they would, you know, they wouldn't need to do it anymore. And when I asked that question of my higher self said, Maureen, that's not the right question for you. And I understood perfectly what I was being told. So I said, okay, do I need to keep doing this meditation every day? Yes. Is my Merkaba permanent? Well, yes. But if I had known that it was permanent before I asked that question, I wouldn't have asked that question about do I need to keep doing it. I would have assumed I didn't need to keep doing it. And that's one of the keys that I teach now around this whole higher self connection, is the idea that having a higher self connection is extraordinarily valuable. But once you have it, then you need to develop the skill to understand how to ask questions to elicit the highest and best information for a person. And the learning of the how was another stretch of information that came through. And the actual meditation itself was my teacher. So I taught this for 20 years, 24 countries all over the world. And I continue to be amazed because I was willing to show up, and I agreed to show up. And I said at the altar at one point, after I'd been teaching it for a couple of years, and I kept my corporate job because I still had four kids at home. I was still putting kids through college. It was a lot of money churning through my household. And one day, something happened at work, and I came home and stood in front of my altar and said, if I'm supposed to let go of this corporate thing, I willingly do that. And at that point, I knew I had made about $20,000 in revenue in seminar sales. I hadn't bothered looking at my expenses, which were actually more than the $20,000 I had made, you know, travel and promotion and all that. But I figured if I could pull in $20,000 as a sideline, what would I be able to do if I really put my attention on it? So I let go, and 4 weeks later, I had a pink slip and a check, and I never looked back.
Wow. So I have questions to ask you now, some of these details. You talk about drawing upon the flower of life. So tell us what that is, how that fits in.
Okay, so the flower of life is a symbol of seven circles, and many of us have seen it. And the easy way to imagine what it looks like is to imagine seven pennies around six pennies around a central penny and line them up so they create a circle. And then all those circles intersecting each other produce this shape that's called the flower of life. So it's really a circle, but the inside of it has seven circles. And that symbology produces all of the Platonic solids, which is the sacred geometry of the ages. So what that means is everybody knows the cube, or based on the square. The square is the two-dimensional version. The cube would be the three-dimensional version. That's one of the five solids. And they have qualities like all the angles are the same, all the points could inscribe a circle like that. So there's a number of qualities that define what kind of a shape this is. And there's only five of them. And they were discovered way before Plato. They just got named after him at some point in history. And they were used in the Pythagorean school, and they're used in this meditation. So you actually learn a little bit of geometry when you're learning the meditation itself, which is why it takes a couple of days to learn it.
Mm-hmm.
That changed everything. That changed everything. I was wearing bifocals in my 40s, and I don't wear anything now. I even passed my driver's test without any glasses.
So it cleared up your energy field? Is that what happened?
Your
energy cleared up?
Well, what I think is that the sacred geometry and the idea of looking at these geometric shapes that are divinely inspired, let us say, creates a matrix that you can tune to, like in the orchestra, when the stringed instruments tune to the oboe or to the flute.
Mm-hmm.
They play the A, and then everybody else tunes to that. And so we all kind of have sliding around it and deviating from it, and having that vibration in your field tunes you to your version of perfection. So it allows you to take on a whole new level. And what I found is that I had more energy, I had more clarity, I had more comprehension, I had more intuition, I had greater compassion, and I was able to integrate that. You know, there's a lot of people that have a lot of book knowledge, and I certainly fit that category at that point in time. But after 20 years of teaching it and embodying it and practicing it daily for over 8 years, I changed. I opened up the channel of the heart. And in so doing, I integrated the heart with the mind. And in that process, I created the channel to the divine. And the channel to the divine is open to anybody who is willing and able to unlock that combination lock all the way up through all their chakras and through all their four lower bodies. Get everything lined up just like a combination lock, and the channel opens. It opens wide.
Wow. All right, I have another. This is so exciting to hear. And the next question is, you talked about chaos theory. So you're talking about this alignment. So where does chaos theory and fractals, where does that fit in to your work?
Well, I think that, first of all, chaos theory is a real theory. It's a scientific principle. You can read about it in the book by Thomas Gleick, who wrote the book, Chaos, probably a 600-page book, but it's well worth the read. Excuse me. And chaos theory is the idea that things can change in an unpredictable way, but that change will occur. And I'll give you an example. We all know about an avalanche, but we've never really thought, most of us don't really think about the idea that it's a small rolling snowball that causes an avalanche to occur. So the snow gathers around the ball, and it gets bigger and bigger, and then all of a sudden the whole mountain of snow comes down. A more familiar explanation would be the game of pickup sticks, where you take a bunch of sticks, like a bunch of pencils, only they're smaller sticks. Kids play this, and they drop the sticks, and you hold them like in your hand upright, and then you let them fall gently. They come into a pile.
Mm-hmm.
The game is you picking up a stick without the pile moving. So what happens is, in this concept, you are putting feedback into the system called negative feedback, because the system doesn't really change for the first few players. And then one unlucky player picks up a stick and the pile moves. Now she's out. That's positive feedback because it caused a change. So the principle of chaos theory is that there's input, 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 no apparent change. And then all of a sudden everything shifts. And that's where a lot of change occurs in the reality. So that's science's explanation of how things occur. Well, when I learned this and I studied this, it was so obvious to me that's how we shift and change. And a practical example is when you go to the gym. Hire somebody to train you, and the first week you call them and complain, I've gained weight, everything hurts, nothing's working, and I'm tired all the time. They're going to say, great job. And you're going to say, this is bogus, you know. I'm getting all the opposite. I'm supposed to have more energy. I'm supposed to lose weight, blah, blah. And the trainer will say, all in due time, keep at it. And that's the thing that makes the concept of chaos theory so powerful. Because as a human, we're looking for cause and effect because that's where we're trained. You know, traditional teaching in school says that a cause and an effect. And that's only one part of how we understand the science. And that's two-dimensional. In third dimension, there's cause, and effect. And so most of the change that we have in the reality is built on chaos theory. And so I use that as a principle to teach manifestation in the book, Be a Genie. And so I use that to help people understand that don't give up because you're not seeing any improvement. Instead, hold your place of manifestation, belief, as I call it, in spite of the absence of evidence. The evidence is
there.
Well,
that's something I'd like to add something here that I've read and heard of many people. I went to the Truth About Cancer live event a few times, and I've heard people talk about that they were on a path to heal from cancer naturally. And then they had blood tests, and it wasn't just cancer, it was other diseases too. And the blood tests were not showing improvement right away. Sometimes it even got worse, but they were on a natural path. And then gradually over time, as they kept doing it, they finally started to heal.
That's right. And here's the thing. Whatever we feed ourselves with food, with thought, with belief, is what we become. And if the thing that we're feeding ourselves is radically different than what we were brought up with, it may take longer. And in fact, I tell people, don't look for evidence. Let evidence surprise you.
Wow.
So instead of going for the blood test, you would simply know you're getting better and keep telling yourself you're getting better. And then the evidence will show up faster. You know, it's like when you're looking at the clock all the time, you don't have nearly the availability of time that you have when you don't look at the clock. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I think
really,
that's very cool.
Really believing and surrounding yourself with support so you can keep believing. You said that earlier.
Yes, absolutely. One of, you know, I've written a lot of books, and it's so exciting for me to be able, when somebody asks me about a specific category, to be able to refer to a book that covers that subject. And I wrote the book, Be a Genie, before the work of Rhonda Byrne came out, The Secret. And so many of my students said, you know, now that I know The Secret, I get it. Why Be a Genie is so powerful, because it explains why it works, explains how it works. And that's very useful for people who are very analytical. And my intention was, you know, if you're already a believer, if you already signed on, you know, you don't need the boost that everyone else does. So my idea, my mission, if you will, would be to reach the people that want to be right, that want the linear thinking to be real, and I find the linear reasons why things work the way they do, and that gives them the ability to let go of the version of the linear that they're looking at and understand that the version that they're looking at is limited and that they could expand it. And I'll give you an example. I kept asking Spirit for a linear reason, a logical reason, why you should follow your higher self. And one day the vision came in, and it was like months and months and months of meditating on this, you know, no answer, no answer. Finally, the vision came in, and I burst out laughing when I saw it. So imagine that you're watching a television show on your local network, your local TV network at home, you know, your local station, whatever that is. And then they burst in with a weather update. Maybe there's a big storm coming. Maybe there's hail. Maybe there's some tornado that's moving faster than anyone thought. Who knows? You listen to that. You pull your car in the carport or in the garage. You close your windows, whatever you need to do to make yourself secure. So the logical reason to always follow your higher self is that your higher self is giving you an update on the situation normal. So if it's an update on situation normal, it's basically everything's the way you're expecting it. Everything's the way you're, you know, you're thinking it's supposed to be, the, you know, the reality, except this one piece has changed. You know, and I'll give you a really cool example. When I was still working in the corporate world and I was doing this work, because I double tasked, you know, for 6 years where I did both my corporate job and my seminar work and my meditation work and all of that, because I was practicing the Merkaba for many years before I actually went out publicly. So I was trying to reach this guy to get some publicity for my nonprofit. That was one of my jobs. And he was a writer for the newspaper. And I'll bet you I called him 3 or 4 times and never got him. And I was running out of time for this window of this, you know, thing that we were doing to get to some publicity. So 5 minutes till 5, my higher self comes in and says, call the guy, call Doug. And I remember thinking, no, man, I want to go home. You know, it's close to time to leave. This is not a good time. And again, call him. And I kind of, you know, like scrunched my nose up, you know, all right, fine. So I call him, and he answers. He answers his own phone, like 2 minutes till 5 or something. And the first words out of his mouth were, Maureen, how did you know to call me at this time? I am never here at this time. I not only got this story, but I got on the front page. And not only did I get on the front page, but that was the day the Pope was visiting our community, and my headline was above the Pope's headline.
Wow.
So the work of the book, Waking Up in 5D, is the result of my years and years of devotion to the mystical traditions, to learning about how to access the divine self. And then I began to bring this information directly from source. So there was a transition point when I was teaching the manifestation work, and I'd originally been teaching the Merkaba and only teaching what they'd taught us in this coursework. And there was some dramatic shift that occurred that I realized that I was getting the same information that the guy who brought it in was. And there was a very specific thing that happened where I gave him a piece of information and he turned to the whole group and announced it to them. And I thought to myself, there is no way that this is the first time he's heard it, but it is the first time he's ever announced it. And if I gave it to him and he said it, it's not because Maureen said it to him. It's because he'd already heard it from Spirit, and now he's hearing it from one of his students, and he darn well better get it out before she does. When that happened, there were a couple other incidents like that that showed me, Spirit was showing me that I was getting information directly from source. That's when I let the brakes off and allowed myself to bring in the information directly from source. So in class, when people would ask a question, a lot of times I was channeling and I didn't even know it. And so people were hanging on every word I said. You know, even when we would go out and party, people would hang out with me and want to be close because they were waiting for the next thing I would say because they knew it would be right. And
how fascinating.
I learned this from my students. That's what they were doing. Even I wasn't aware of it. And then as I, you know, started making recordings of my classes or my sessions, my private sessions with people, and I would go back and listen to them. I would go, whoa, that's amazing. Even I didn't know that, you know, and it's coming out of my mouth. So there is a quality when you have this connection that when you ask a question and you're, you know, you're plugged in and you have a clear intention to be a true channel for the divine, the information flows. And so I like to teach because it actually sometimes gives me more information. And that's where the book started. And then there were some things that happened to me along the way that were mind-boggling. For example, you know how you bristle when somebody says something inappropriate? And you think to yourself, you know, where have they been in the last 20 years? You know, they shouldn't talk that way. Well, I was finding myself having those kind of reactions to perfectly normal words. And that flabbergasted me. Because I thought to myself, why am I reacting to those words? And what I realized is that I was so high in my vibrational set that words that locked you down into 3D were painful. And so I started to keep track. And that was another big aha for me, that we could be proactive and consciously choose to eliminate a pile of words that we would normally use and be ahead of the system, be proactive. You know, from my corporate work, we all know proactive versus reactive. Reactive is dangerous because you never know what you're going to do. You never know what's going to happen. But if you're proactive, you're anticipating. And that means that you carry an umbrella when you think it's going to rain rather than just wait and see if it rains. So I like this idea, right, of being proactive. And that's what gave me the realization that there was a book in this information. And, for example, we all say, I have to. And we say it a lot. We probably say it 20 times a day. I have a radio show. I have to get ready. I have a doctor's appointment. I have to go to the doctor. I have to meet my friend. I have to pick up the kids at daycare, whatever it is. Well, we don't have to anything. It's always a choice. And when we recognize and give ourselves permission to choose, we pull ourselves out of the matrix of mass consciousness. And that was like this big aha. And there was a message that came through me that there were like five things that lock us into mass consciousness. Our morning coffee, the morning news, big sports events, soccer games, World Cup, you know, football games. And that the mass consciousness, when you hook into that, whatever those things are, those five things, you're actually giving yourself away. And you're saying, I'm with them. I'm with the group. I'm with the masses. And in that process, you then become subject to mass consciousness programming. But if you unhook from all of that, and, you know, shake up when you have your coffee and you don't always have to watch every football game and you decide to pay attention to that, you're actually pulling yourself out of it. And what I discovered is the Merkaba made it so obvious to me that I could see those things. And I began to realize that when you're practicing this meditation, people can't lie to you. People can't, you know, pull a fast one because you can sense what's going on. And so
I would like to add something there. You may sense it, but if you say it to people that don't see it, they could think you're crazy or you're exaggerating, you know, but you see it and you know you see it.
Well, you know, you make a good point. And I learned early on I'm getting an interrupt because I was told this was a 30-minute show and I have another show right now.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, so then we'll have to go. I'm loving it. I gave it a little bit more time.
Sure.
Okay, so we'll have to go. This was just absolutely delightful to hear from you. So feel free to go. And
yes,
I'd love to speak with you again soon.
To it. Yeah. Yeah, we need to do this again so we can continue, because I feel like we have a lot that we can, you know, really charge this up with.
Yes, it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care.
Bye-bye. And to those of you listening, I look forward to speaking to you again soon, and we will continue this show another time. She had so much to share, and so much that most of us could really benefit from. Developing a higher way of viewing our world and eliminating so much of the negativity that's out there. So I hope to speak to all of you again soon. Bye for now.